Hello and welcome to the Jim Baker Family Show. Coming to you from the village of Morningside, USA, snuggled in the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Today, our special guest is New York Times best-selling author, filmmaker, and teacher, Joe Richardson. Our co-hosts today are Maricela Woodall and Mondo De La Vega. And now, live from Gray Street at Morningside, USA, here's your host, Ricky Baker.
Hello, you're watching Jim Baker's PTL Television Network. We love that you chose to tune in with us today. Wherever you're watching from, whether it be social media, on our television network, from the comfort of your home on your phone, we want to say thank you for supporting and standing with the PTL Television Network. Amen. I want to read this to you to start off. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says right here in verse 58, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, because thank you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Yes. Friend, there are some of you who have been toiling, that you've been working, you've been, tending to the field, you've been moving the flocks from field to field, and you think, man, I've done a lot of work, Lord, but I do not feel like I have seen the reward from it. Friend, just hold on just a little bit longer. I promise you, the reward is right around the corner. The reward is the salvation of your soul cemented in eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven. Friend, you get to spend this is a beautiful thought. You can cognitively reason a million times, a million times, a billion, that many years away, and you'll still just have the understanding that heaven had only just begun for you. Eternity had just started for you. Friend, it's not worth it. If you're holding on to anger, bitterness, if you're holding on to resentment, if you're hanging on to unforgiveness, today's the day to let go of that, friend. I promise you, it's not saying that somebody else is right. Whenever you're saying, hey, I forgive that person, it's not saying what they did was right or that what they did was just towards you. It simply is saying that you're free, friend. It's simply saying that you no longer have to carry that burden. You no longer have to have those chains bind you down. You know, I heard a beautiful analogy one time. They said unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. There's many times that I've interacted with someone and they say, well, I cannot forgive such and such for this offense that they did to me. I say, well, brother, let's bring them together and let's talk about it. And the other person didn't even know that they offended them. The other person didn't even realize that they hurt them. So Mondo, this person was harboring anger, bitterness, unforgiveness in their hearts towards someone who didn't even realize that they had done them wrong. Friend, the most powerful thing that you can do as a Christian, the thing that separates us from other religions, is the fact that we have forgiveness. The fact that we can emulate Christ and say, I know you've hurt me. I know you've done wrong by me and by my family, but I still love you because Christ loves you. And I forgive you because Christ had paid the ultimate price on the cross to forgive all sins. Friend, that's for you watching today. There is a redemptive story waiting for you. All you have to do is say, hey, I no longer want to carry these chains, these burdens. I want to walk in the ultimate authority of Christ Jesus, which allows me to be a free human being.
Amen. Wow, what a healing, right?
Yes.
A healing to be able to forgive. And the key is to not only do it, but do it from your heart.
That's right.
You know, I'm noticing a lot of trending situations on social media when it comes to unforgiveness. They can't let go of the hurt that the church has caused, or even ministers that have done things throughout the years. And a lot of people are holding on to those, and they create a whole social media following because of it.
That's
They're only harming themselves and harming whoever's following them.
That's right.
You know, you're absolutely right. I heard that quote years ago with Dr. Gary Smalley.
I think that's where I got it from. Yep.
Because anytime you're in a relationship, you know, you hold grudges and you hold unforgiveness towards one another, yet you're drinking that poison hoping the other person dies, yet is only harming yourself.
I love that you said something a few shows back. You said, you know, you'll know that you are Christian, especially in the end times, by the fruit which your tree is producing. When your tree is producing the fruit of love, patience, peace, sound mind, when your tree is producing the fruit of forgiveness towards the world, even though the world may be trying to knock your branches down, maybe trying to remove your fruit, whenever you're producing forgiveness, that's a testimony, friend.
Yes,
you're a walking, living, breathing testimony of the forgiveness and redemption power of Christ Jesus. Friend, we have to be evangelizing at every possible chance. Every chance we get to be evangelizing, we can. Now, somebody may say, well, brother, I don't know. I can't really go out. I'm not an extrovert. I can't just walk up and tell someone, hey, are you living right with Jesus? But friend, the way in which you live your life is a testimony to the world. People will say, hey, that person acts a little bit different. I wonder what it is about them. That person seems to be walking with a little bit more smoothness to their heart. I wonder what it is about that person. They'll come to you and ask their questions, friend. But you need to have that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, that intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit to ensure that you're walking in the fullness of who God has called you to be. You know, Mondo, we have a guest on today. And I'm telling you, this man's walking in the fullness of what God has called him to be. Man. We have a friend to this ministry, a friend to the PTL Television Network, someone who we support the work he is doing. And I'm honored that we get to have Joel Richardson back on the broadcast with us today. Joel, we want to thank you for being on the PTL Television Network.
It's great to be on with you, Ricky. It's great to see you guys. And the love is mutual. I think about you guys often and send my prayers down to you all, and I'm just always happy to be with you.
Amen. You know, we tried to reduce his bio so I didn't take up the entire show just talking about all the things you've done. That's right. You know, Joel Richardson, if you're just tuning in, he is a New York Times bestselling author. He's a preacher, he's a teacher, and he's a filmmaker. He is the host of the popular online Christian program, The Underground. Now, Joel, I want to ask you, if someone has maybe not seen any of the films you've done, where can they go and watch these films that you've produced?
So the majority of them are going to be on, they're all free, by the way, on YouTube or on our app. It's a ministry called Frontier Alliance International, FAI. Again, if you just go on YouTube, you can find our films, but there's also an app which has all of our free teachings and films and different things. And the primary, you know, look, there's a lot of different films that we put out. The place to start is a series of documentaries. We've actually got three, and there's two more that we're working on called Covenant and Controversy. So this deals with exactly what we're seeing unfold right now in the earth, which is the pan-historical rage and hatred against the Jewish people to really understand the biblical context for all of these things.
Wow. Now, we want you to go and support that on YouTube, on their app, download this. Go and support this ministry. This is a critical work they're doing, and we support what they're doing. Now, Joel, I'm going to jump right into discussion if you don't mind this. What we're witnessing throughout the nation right now, it's really, truly sad. At colleges, universities, all over the United States, crazed protesters are setting up encampments. They're attacking Jewish students. They're replacing the American flag with the Palestinian flag, which I have a whole nother topic about that. And you know what? They're also illegally occupying buildings. They're busting in doors to get in. They're holding out campouts. They're demanding rations to get there. How did the U.S. college campuses, universities become an incubator for the far left radicals and activists here?
Or you could even say, how did they become incubators for radical Islam and racism? Now, look, it's obviously no secret to anyone who's been paying attention that the majority of American youth, really all Western youth, have been brainwashed with Marxist indoctrination for the past 50 years, but it's really gotten pretty overt and aggressive the past decade or two. But what we're seeing right now, Ricky, is a really fascinating sort of sociological phenomenon. We're actually seeing these radical leftists, I mean, the green-haired, pink-haired, transgender, LGBTQ+, et cetera, who are actually joining with radical right-wing Muslim activists. But the issue that's uniting them is, they would say, anti-Zionism, but ultimately it's anti-Semitism. It's a very, very ancient hatred of the Jewish people. And ultimately behind that, that's just on the surface, behind that is a very real spiritual illness, a very real demonic malady that is, we're genuinely seeing the collective, I'm going to even just say, demonic possession of large segments of American society.
Yeah. You know, we're seeing across college campuses, and I've heard this many times throughout videos, and it kind of perplexed me, and I want to kind of get your opinion on this as well. We are seeing these people in green bandanas, which is clear support for Hamas, a terrorist organization, which is baffling to me. But they're saying Israel the occupiers, like they haven't been there for thousands and thousands of years. What is it about our college campuses that are there being taught that makes them think that Israel are the ones that are simply there on someone else's land, occupying and oppressing a people who have what they say, you know, right to the land, which we've known is biblical Israel for the beginning, you know, almost since the beginning of time. So,
yeah. So this all goes back to the Abrahamic covenant. God made a covenant unto death on his own life. He swore to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and his descendants forever that he was going to give them that land. Okay, so the Lord has made covenant. Now, essentially, just to sort of reiterate what you just said, we've seen this a million times, but interestingly right now, the again, as I said, our youth have been brainwashed by Marxism, and a part of that is critical race theory. Critical race theory essentially holds up that, you know, the greatest problem in the world is the colonizing, the white colonization of the world. Well, in the case of Israel, the term indigenous peoples rarely comes up. So just to give you an example, you know, I was just in Hawaii recently on a ministry trip, embracing my cross, serving the Lord in Hawaii for a weekend. But, you know, there you have the indigenous peoples. You have the Hawaiian peoples that lived there. And then, of course, you have the various Westerners, you know, the Americans that have come. And, of course, you also have Portuguese and Japanese and different peoples there. But they're the foreigners. They're the outsiders. So within this framework of anti-colonialism, Marxism, critical race theory, et cetera, the biggest evil in the world are those who are Caucasian, you know, those who are white, those who are colonizers, and this sort of thing. So they're using this cultural framework of anti-colonialism, and they're imposing it onto this situation in the Middle East. Now, the problem is the majority of Israelis, well, I would say the majority are, you know, of European descent, the Ashkenazi Jews, but you also have the Sephardic. You have the Mizrahi, you have all sorts of different Jews from all over the world. You have the Ethiopian Jews. Israel is a multicultural country of white people, brown people, black people, you know, of all shades, all over the melanin spectrum, so to speak. But what they're doing is they're framing Israelis as primarily Europeans. And so although the Israelis, although the Hebrews are the original indigenous people to the land, they are framed as these European colonizers that came later. Now, of course, there was a very long period where the majority of Jews were expelled from the land, exactly, by the way, according to the words of Moses. But it's just, I'll be honest with you, it's a horrific thing. I mean, it's a painful thing. But to watch the, if I can just say this, the absolute idiocy, the hypocrisy, the contradictions, the ideological contradictions that are behind these protesters, it's almost comical. It's almost comical to watch these green-haired, liberal, young, ignorant American college students converting to Islam en masse, donning the Palestinian flag or the banner or bandana of Hamas, a terrorist organization, and all of these things, you know, whereas if they were to go to Gaza today as these sort of flaming, you know, green-haired, liberal transgender, whatever, you know, they wouldn't last a day in that culture. Whereas Israel is a very Western and I would say even very liberal country, even to the point where Tel Aviv, a lot of people don't realize this, Tel Aviv is actually the homosexual capital of the world right now. It's actually considered far more of a bastion of homosexuality even than San Francisco. And so the layers of irony in what we're seeing is just bizarre.
You know, this is a setup, right, for my next question. And welcome back, Joel. This is Mondo. Love seeing you. Nice tan. Listen, it's amazing because the ADL Center for Anti-Semitism Research found an increasingly concerning state of anti-Semitism in America, anti-Jewish, anti-Israel positions. How do we get to the point that America is accepting openly the anti-Semitism against the Jewish people, against Israel? How do we get to this place?
So, you know, in one of the early films, we really analyze the issue of anti-Semitism. And as I mentioned earlier, it's a pan-historical problem. It spans human history, and it's a phenomenon. You know, even within the academic world, those who give their lives to studying anti-Semitism, there's this glaring, huge mystery right in the middle of it, which is that for each time, in every generation, there's, you know, this uprising of anti-Jewish hatred. But every single time, there's a different reason. You know, whether it was under the Muslims, there was one reason. Under the Nazis, there was another reason. The Christians persecuted the Jews, there was another reason. The Russians or the Egyptians, you know, with Pharaoh and the Babylonians, on and on and on. It's always a very different reason. And so what's interesting today is we have actually, we have the only case, the only issue whereby the radical right, because you actually do have a lot of Christians, you'll see them all, the comments on YouTube and this sort of thing, who really believe that the Jewish people are the worst, most evil people in the world. Well, then on the other side, on the left, as we just talked about, you have those that are anti-colonialist, and they frame Israel as these European colonizers. So they have this sort of anti— they say they're anti-Zionist, which means they're anti-Israel, against the state of Israel. But all of these different groups from opposite ends of the political spectrum, some are atheists, some are Christians, some are conservatives, some are Republicans, they all mutually have this hatred of the state of Israel and ultimately the Jewish people. And so this is the culmination. I mean, we've seen it brewing now for the past decade plus. Again, I hate to use comments on YouTube or social media comments as a barometer for where society is going. But behind it all, now this is, we're just addressing these things from a sociological perspective. Behind it all, as I said, Mondo, is a demonic rage. You know, you can go back, you can look at Psalm 2. I love this. Thousands of years ago, David, who was a prophet, he said, "Why do the nations rage? Why are the people devising and plotting something in vain? Why are they all gathered together? Why are they out in the streets burning things? Why are they, you know, destroying their college campuses? Why are they raging?" They're ultimately raging. They say it's against Zion. They say it's against, you know, Donald Trump or whatever it might be. There's all different reasons. But ultimately behind it, the rage in their hearts is against the Lord and against his anointed. There is a demonic rage that is rising up in the human heart against the fact that we are approaching the time, the soon return of Jesus. And the Lord responds and he goes, "I'm going to tell you what my response is to all of this insanity, to this idiocy, to this hatred, this racism, this rage." He says, "I've made a plan. I'm going to put my son, I'm going to put my king on Mount Zion. And that's what's going to put an end to all of this insanity when he rules the nations with an iron scepter." And, you know, not to use the phrase from Chariots of Fire, but they refer to Jesus as a benevolent dictator. You know, it's ultimately only under the leadership of an all-powerful, completely just and perfect God that the world will ever genuinely know peace. And that's ultimately, it's ultimately what we're looking for. Yes, Jesus came. He died on the cross. Absolutely. That is the gospel, but the gospel also leads somewhere. It gives us a hope, something that we're looking forward to, and that is what we just said. It's Jesus is coming back to rule the nations, and at that time, peace will extend to the nations like a mighty river.
Amen. There's only true peace found in Jesus Christ. Yes. You know, we see these college kids on college campuses. We've been finding out that a lot of them don't even attend the colleges. A lot of them aren't even, you know, actual college students. They're protesters. But what we as believers need to be hoping for them is that they have a radical encounter with Jesus Christ. They put down their bandanas. They put down their Palestinian flags. They put down their weapons. And they say, "You know what? I now realize that I was in the wrong and I need a savior named Jesus Christ." We're seeing anti-Semitism on college campuses at a astounding record. I have a video that I want to play for you, Joel. I kind of want to get your perspective on this because this, every time I see it, it still shocks me. I want you to see this.
Protests against the war in Gaza continue on a number of campuses across the country.
We found out some of these demonstrators are also the same people who did organize protests that took place over at UT Dallas. And they tell us that they don't feel safe on campus since all the protesting began.
"I've gotten a threat that's like, if you aren't killed by Hamas, then we will kill you.
So the handouts that you're about to see are held together by clips, rubber bands, and binders. They celebrate the death of innocent Jews and elimination of Israel. In Glory to Gaza, one document says, armed struggles enshrined in law. In that struggle for liberation, they celebrate rocket attacks on Zionist settlements with over 2,300 rockets launched last year. They also reject peace or a two-state solution, saying, we are not satisfied with coexistence or ending apartheid. We must liberate the land from the river to the sea.
We Jewish students have been sounding the alarm and screaming about this for months. We've said, you know, we hear this rhetoric, we hear it escalate, we are seeing people get physically hurt on and around campus, and the administration didn't listen to us and didn't take our claims seriously.
All right, while some professors and college administrators are defending the protesters, others have called them out, including a professor at George Washington University, Melinda Roth. She wrote that these little brats should leave dorm rooms paid for by mommy and daddy and actually go to Gaza.
It was, you know, absolutely horrifying, the hatred, the anti-Zionist messages, the Israeli hatred, the Jewish hatred, and also the American hatred.
Officials also found weapons, chains, and steel cables to barricade doors, and buckets of rocks and bricks to assault police.
But this has always been my biggest point. The biggest threat to Western civilization is not another civilization, just like the biggest threat to Rome was not another civilization. The Romans did not fall to the even more Roman Empire, right? They fell because they decayed internally. And the contemporary left is for me a sign of the decay of Western civilization.
A 2020 Holocaust knowledge and awareness study showed 63% of U.S. millennials and members of Generation Z did not know 6 million Jews were killed in the Holocaust.
Not 75 years later, but just 7.5 months later. And people are already forgetting.
Joel, what is your thoughts on this?
Yeah, as I said, you know, and it's a little bit radical to say that there's a collective demonic possession. You know, I think of examples in even somewhat recent history, for example, the Rwandan genocide, where you had the Hutsis and the Tutus, and, you know, just sort of one night, an entire group takes up machetes and slaughters well over a million people. And you hear testimonies where they say the next day they go, it was like we woke up and we said, what in the world did we just do? And examples like that, it's almost like a demonic possession comes over a people. And I really believe that as a nation, we're reaching this point where the satanic Marxist education that's being pumped from so many of the universities, the ignorance of so many of these youth, and the rejection of God is creating a vacuum. You know, it's sort of when, you know, you kick a demon out of a house and then it's empty, you know, seven more come back. And that's essentially what we're seeing right now, is we're seeing a demonic rage sweep into this nation. You know, and I would love to say it's all done in ignorance. You know, there's all been all sorts of these different social media folks. They go to the protests and they say, okay, you're chanting from the river to the sea. What does that mean? What river? What sea? And, you know, half the kids have no idea. They're just out there because it's trendy. It's hip. They think it's the justice issue of our day. But it's and just as you saw, 63% didn't even know about the Holocaust, didn't even know that just yesterday, 6 million Jews were slaughtered. You know, I go, look, I'm getting a little bit older, Ricky, but I jump back to when I was a freshman in high school. I always point out to people my age, I say, remember when the album Guns N' Roses, Appetite for Destruction was released? You jump from now back to that day and you're basically halfway to the Holocaust. I mean, that's how recent it was. It was not ancient history. It was just yesterday. And they're ignorant of that. They don't even know that. I always like to make a few points using sort of their rhetoric. A lot of these Marxists, they like to point out the one percenters. They complain about the one percenters. They mean the richest, most wealthy 1% in the world who, you know, have the majority of the wealth, and they're exploiting those under them. I say, tell me what is the total wealth of the leaders of Hamas. The top leader of Hamas is Ismail Haniyeh. What is his net worth? And I actually got in an argument with this guy on Twitter over this. It turned out he was a New Testament professor at some Christian college. And I said, I want you to say for me, what is his net worth? Well, it's $4.4 billion, Ricky. So between the top four leaders of Hamas, they're worth well over $10 billion. Now, you know, at the end of this program, we're going to put up a little link so you can donate to the poor, suffering, exploited Palestinian people. And we're going to ask the question, I'm just joking, but who is exploiting them? Where's all this money coming from? It's coming from the generosity from those who have been seduced by the propaganda and the lies of the of Hamas, of the Palestinian propaganda machine. And where is it going? Is it going to the people? Is it going for the betterment of Palestinian society? No, it's going to build mansions in Qatar and Turkey for these cynical leaders who are fomenting racial hatred for their own glorification. And it's also important in seeing that news clip to highlight the very charter of Hamas itself, just to understand what these kids are getting behind. The very charter of Hamas, the original charter, the constitution, it actually has this prophecy, this Islamic prophecy, and it said, the day of judgment will not come until the Muslims fight against the Jews and kill them, until there are only a few Jews left hiding behind a tree or a rock, and then the tree or the rock will cry out and say, oh Muslim, there is a Jew behind me, come and kill him. And then it says, Hamas exists to fulfill this divine mandate. Hamas is a terrorist organization which was founded for the explicit stated purpose of carrying out a genocide, of slaughtering a people simply because of their race. And you have all these kids that say they're anti-racist, and they're literally out there calling for the genocide of the Jewish people. If that's not demonic, if that's not evil, if they are not essentially successors of the Nazi party, then there's no such thing. It's literally a resurrection of the modern Nazism.
Wow. Yet Palestinians all over the world, Joe, are demanding Israel to cease fire and stop the war in Gaza. How should Israel respond to the protesters when Hamas, Hezbollah continue to attack Israel today?
Israel has every right to exist. Look, let me just say, what is Zionism? Zionism is a very, very simple concept. There's many forms of Zionism, but really its most basic form is this. The Jewish people have a right to live. They have a right to live in their land, and they have a right to protect themselves, defend themselves and their families if they want to. And that's exactly what they've been doing. So what they should do is continue to do what they've been doing. They are liberating Gaza from Hamas, which is actually the best thing in the world for the people of Gaza, and they have every right to do that. They have every right to protect themselves and their nation, and they're doing it with the most caution possible, which is they're giving the civilians every opportunity. They're doing everything they can to minimize civilian casualties, whereas Hamas itself is deliberately making every effort to try to maximize the death of their own people, their own civilians, to maximize collateral damage in order so that they can seduce all of these brain-dead, gullible Western idiots into supporting them. And that's really what's happening. It's so transparent. It's so obvious to anyone who watches and pays attention to what's happening. And it's time that intelligent people wake up and recognize that it's a big scam.
Wow. This is shocking, right? But at the same time, it's reality.
Yeah.
It's where we are. Mm-hmm. It's where America is. It's where the world is. It's everything that we have read about, and now we're waking up to the idea that the world has changed. Yet, historically, it's been written.
That's right.
To understand where we are today, we have to go back to the history of the book of what we believe.
The Bible. That's right.
The writings of the Bible, the writings of old prophecy. Yet you have a generation that doesn't even understand what they're fighting for. Yet they're being funded by organizations that even hate themselves. America is not the America that we once were 20, 30, 40 years ago, let alone 50, 60 years ago. Not that we want to be back there. No. I think we're supposed to grow. We're supposed to evolve. yet we're evolving to a different America, to different ideologies and ideas of what culture is supposed to look like. But when the rise of anti-Semitism is rising to a proportion that most college students today don't even realize that the Holocaust took place, maybe not even in their lifetime, but in the lifetime of their grandparents, and then wake up to deny it, it's a slap in the face to those that went through it and the ancestors that, listen, we can talk about this over and over, but yet we are living in a time that Bible prophecy is being fulfilled more than ever before, and why the church has to remain strong.
Yes.
Yeah.
You have to remain strong. This program has to remain strong. We're not going to back away from standing with Israel.
Never.
We're not going to stand away from not support. Listen, just a few moments ago, the president of the United States has removed help to Israel.
Yeah, they're saying that they're not going to deliver the necessary things that they need to defend themselves against these terrorist organizations. And you might be saying, well, why do you guys stand with Israel? This is why we stand with Israel right here. Man. It's not our opinion. We don't have a choice in the matter. We listen to the word of God. The word of God tells us to stand with Israel. That is why this network stands with Israel. That is why we love the nation of Israel. It's why we wear shirts that say, I support Israel. I will wear that any opportunity I get. The people who are going out and protesting on these college campuses have no shame. They don't care. Why should I? Why should I, as a believer in Jesus Christ, the only way to heaven, I absolutely know and understand that. Why should I be ashamed of my viewpoints? Why should I be ashamed of what I believe? Because why? I'm scared someone will come up to me and say, hey, you support genocide? I had someone come up and say that to me. And I thought, oh, in conservative Missouri, really? I said, well, I don't support genocide. Why? Because what's happening isn't genocide, brother. Define genocide for me. They couldn't do it. I said, okay, well, maybe we need to work on our verbiage a little bit. But I'm telling you right now, we need to understand that boldness needs to come back into the body of Christ. Boldness needs to come back into the church. Boldness needs to come back into the individual to say, hey, you know what? I am saved. I love Jesus Christ, but that doesn't mean I am a coward. I am saved. I love Jesus Christ, but that doesn't mean I'm going to take a backseat to what the world has to say. I am saved and I love Jesus Christ, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to allow a governmental system that is diametrically opposed to my belief in the Bible tell me that I can't read the Bible or I can't talk about the Bible. Friend, this is all that we have to cling our lives onto.
Yeah.
This is all that we have to cling our very soul to. One day our body's not going to be here, friend. It's going to be long gone. For many, many, many millennia, it'll be gone. You know what you'll still have? You'll still have your spirit. And your spirit will reside in one of two places, friend. It'll be in heaven or it will be in hell. There is no in between. There is no gray area in there. It's black and white, friend. I know you don't always want to hear that message. The reason we say it is because we love you. We want every single person watching this. I don't care if you are currently a Muslim right now watching this show. I want you to end up in heaven. You must reject your current ideology, and you must profess that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. You must repent and believe the gospel. You must come into the fullness of who God has you to be, and you'll go to heaven, friend. You have that opportunity. What you have done is not too far. Your belief up until this point has not driven you so far that Christ's sacrifice isn't good enough for you. Christ's sacrifice is good enough for anybody. And Christian, if you're watching, I've seen a lot of believers, we're guilty of this, where we say, well, I wish all those people would die and go to hell. I've heard that. And I thought, no, believer, that is not our stance in any of this.
Amen.
We are to be praying that every single one of these college campus students has a radical encounter with Jesus Christ. We are to be praying that every Muslim in a Muslim country has a radical encounter with Jesus Christ. We are to pray for our enemies, friends. That is what separates us from them. That is what separates us from other religions, is the fact that we can pray for our enemy and pray, God, I pray your redemptive blood cover them, purify their mind, purify their heart, purify their soul, that they will reject their current ideology and walk in the fullness of what Christ has promised for them. Friend, that is what separates us. We are to be bold in this time frame. You know, it's a silly, Mondo, it feel like sometimes a t-shirt, but I don't care anymore at this point. If somebody wants to come up and say something negative to me because of a t-shirt, I pray that the Holy Spirit fills my mouth with words that they will be able to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ in that moment.
Amen.
It's why we go out on a limb. I've had people come up and say, hey, well, why would you guys go out on a limb such like that? We have an affiliate program with a company called Steadfast American. If you haven't seen it, I'd recommend go and look at it. I said, why would you go out on a limb? Some of them, you know, one of the shirts that they have on their website, it's the IDF, and it shows the logo of the IDF. Well, why would you guys go on a limb and say that? Because we support it. Why? Not because of our opinion, friend, because the word of God. We have to support what the word of God supports. And so if it's a t-shirt that says, I stand with Israel, if it's a t-shirt that says IDF, then friend, I'm going to wear it to let people know where my stance is. It's time we as believers stop cowarding to the world. We are the head and not the tail, friend. We are the victors through Jesus Christ.
Yes,
we are not fighting for a victory, friend. It's already been given to us. We simply have to walk in the fullness of what Christ has for us. You know, Mondo, we see this throughout our nation, and I pray that revival sweeps even more. But while there is darkness and while there is turmoil and there is an overlooming dark time we're living in, there is a light. Mm-hmm. Why? Because Christ's presence is still here. There are still people who pick up their cross every single day.
Yes.
They deny their flesh and they follow Christ. And friend, that's you watching right now. Friend, that's you watching right now. And you say, well, I haven't picked up my cross in quite a while, Ricky. It's okay. Today's the day to re-pick it back up. It may have some dust on it. Re-pick it back up. It may feel a little heavy. Friend, pick it back up. I promise you, life is not meant to be perfect and it's not meant to be easy. But when you walk with Christ Jesus and you know that the only way to heaven is Christ Jesus and that you have an intimate relationship with Christ Jesus, I promise you, friend, life will be good because you'll realize none of this matters. Paul said it best. This life is a vapor. This life is fleeting. It'll go by so fast and eternity will last forever, friend. Make sure you know where you're going. Make sure you know without a shadow of a doubt, if I were to leave my home today, if I were to leave this studio today and I were to drop dead, without a shadow of a doubt, I'd be going to heaven.
Amen.
You need to have that security, and that security lies in Jesus Christ. It's a simple, simple thing to be doing. Yes, it's a price that cost everything, but you know what? Jesus paid everything on the cross for us. It is our duty to give it back to him. It is a life that he paid for. It belongs to him. Mm-hmm. You know, Mondo, all these lives, I continuously think, and it's hard to think about without coming to tears. We saw Hamas paragliding in like a militant force against these men and women at a music festival in Israel, slaughtering them. We saw them killing babies, burning them alive in front of their mothers, cutting off the heads of soldiers as a disrespect, calling home to family and saying, Mom and Dad, I have killed many Jews, and their parents telling them, good, go kill more. Now, Joel, I know you've been there. You've seen the Nova Festival when October happened. You've seen this festival ground. What was it like to stand there where you know Hamas had infiltrated Israel October 7th and they had essentially performed what people are calling another Holocaust?
Yeah, you're showing some of the video there that I took at the site. Look, I had to very, very deliberately turn my emotions off when I got there, just so I could not completely break down. You know, you send your kids to a concert with their friends and, you know, they all get slaughtered or maybe one survives and they watched all their other friends, you know, your beautiful kids get murdered. 1,200 people were killed that day. And many of these Hamas fighters that came in from Gaza, the reason they knew where they were going or what they were doing is because Israel allowed 30,000 workers to come in every day and actually work in Israel. So many of these were people who were working in the kibbutz, in the farms, the moshavs and different things that they came in and slaughtered the people that they had a relationship with. Look, war is hell. And what Israel is doing, you know, there are people being killed. War is never a wonderful thing, but it's very different when you send in a missile to take out a terrorist or to take out a military target and some people are killed versus sending in, again, as you just said, your children to murder, behead, rape, and slaughter people with their hands in front of them deliberately and to celebrate that. That's barbarism. That's demonic. And so you're darn right that Israel has every right to engage what they're doing in Gaza, to defend and protect their families, to protect their own lives. The message of the world to Israel and to the Jewish people is basically just roll over and die. And they're not going to do that. And so it is so essential that we as Christians stand. Look, the Bible calls us to stand with those who have no other helper. The gospel is for the poor, for the rejected. And right now, Israel is exactly that. They feel alone throughout the whole world. And it's so important that we as Christians stand with them.
Amen.
That's right. You know, you stated that October 7th was a prophetic preview of what is to come. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, so when you look at chapters like Joel chapter 3, Zechariah 12 through 14, I mean, it describes, in Joel chapter 3, it says that the Lord's judgment is against the nations that invade the land of Israel. It says, because you've divided up my land. And then it goes on and it says, you traded a boy for a prostitute or sold a girl so that you could drink. It talks about human trafficking. In Zechariah 12, you see the language of invasion, of occupation, of a massacre, and then you see the people are taken away as prisoners of war. Well, today they say they're kidnapped. They are prisoners of war. What we saw on October 7th was a very small version of what the biblical prophets say will happen yet again in the future in a vastly expanded way under the leadership of the Antichrist, when all of the surrounding nations together, or at least a vast coalition of the surrounding nations, will invade the land of Israel and carry out another October 7th, again, in a way far worse than what we've already seen. That is according to the words of Moses. That's according to the words of Joel and Zechariah and Ezekiel and Daniel. And so, you know, I think the Lord gave us a painful, horrific glimpse at what's coming, and it's time for the church, those who have eyes to see, to prepare our hearts and our lives for what's coming. How can we stand with the Jewish people in the days ahead? That's really what we need to be asking ourselves.
That's right. It absolutely Amen. Is. Amen.
Joe, what is the connection between Joel 3 and the sheep and the goat judgment?
So if you look at Joel chapter 3, he says, in those days and at that time when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I'll gather all the nations, the Gentiles, down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, that's Jerusalem. And he says that there, so here's the Lord Almighty, Yahweh, he says, there I will sit to judge the surrounding nations. Well, in the story of the sheep and goat judgment, Matthew 25, Jesus says when he returns, then he is going to gather all the nations there in Jerusalem, and he's going to judge them. He was actually giving an exposition in Jesus' Olivet Discourse, because that's part of his Olivet Discourse. It's the sermon that was given on the Mount of Olives about the end times. Jesus was basically saying, he was saying, I, Jesus, am Yahweh God Almighty. I'm the one that's going to sit and judge the nations. And then he very specifically says, because of how you treated me. He says, as you treated the least of these my brethren, my countrymen, that's how you treated me. And he'll actually judge the nations on that day based on how they treated the Jewish people, Jesus's brethren. It's very clear in Joel 3, he says, because of my people, my inheritance, Israel. In the sheep and goat judgment, he says, my brethren. The context is very clear. The Olivet Discourse in many ways was an exposition of Joel chapter 3. It was Jesus's expansion and explanation of Joel chapter 3.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Now, Joel, you just returned from Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and Israel. Can you tell our audience here at the PTL Television Network, what were you doing there during these times?
So, I bring tours to Saudi Arabia. We go to the real Mount Sinai. So we were there for that. We went into Jordan. But then we were actually in Israel filming for the fourth Covenant and Controversy film. This one actually is about the return of Jesus. But the film starts there at the October 7th Nova Festival massacre site. And the idea is from the ashes of the pain and the horror of what we've just seen, we move from Sinai up to Jerusalem, where Jesus will ultimately be enthroned as the King of Israel and ultimately the King of the world. And so, yeah, there's some pictures there from the Nova site. It was a very powerful time of filming, and I look forward to the release of the film probably by the end of this year.
Wow. Mm. That's incredible.
I love this. I mean, we can't get enough to understand. The Bible keeps coming back to life.
Coming to That's life, right. yeah.
Listen, we took a trip to Israel in 2014, and things came to life to understand what this word that you read about and to see it in the physical and to understand all the places. And we keep discovering, listen, we need your support. We want you to stand with us this month. We want you to call. We want you to visit the website. Become a partner this month. We need to reach a goal, and that goal is to be able to buy cameras. That goal is to be able to, because we use the cameras to go to Israel and film hour after hour after hour, interview after interview,
right,
to take you with us. And we couldn't do that without your help. And again, we are entering a new season where this ministry has to have an upgrade. So much is happening all over the world.
It's been 15 years. Yeah, 15 years of stewarding, of fixing, of replacing. And now we're getting to the point where they just genuinely don't make the parts anymore.
No, and listen, we want to go. We are being invited to do this program in different locations. And we're planning things, and things are getting exciting because God is moving. The vision is not stopping. We continue to move this vision forward. And we spent several hours with Dad the other day talking about the vision for this ministry and how are we going to move it forward. But I want to tell you something. Television has to be in the middle of it because we want to show you how this vision is going to develop in every part, from Morningside to doing interviews and taking you. Can you imagine after years of talking about Yellowstone, taking the cameras and doing interviews at Yellowstone at the location and bringing guests there to be able to help us understand what would happen if Yellowstone goes off?
Even going back to Israel.
To Israel. But more than that, I'd love to take the cameras to Saudi Arabia and have Joel Richardson there and be able to walk us through the process of the most debated mountain, I believe, in the world. Yet we want to take you there. Would you consider becoming a partner today? Give us a call right now, 1-888-988-1588, or better yet, visit the website, jimbakershow.com.
You know, we've had a lot of people stand with us in support for the Send Me offering. Yeah. What that is we need 2,000 people at $500. It's a one-time donation to the ministry to be able to purchase all the systems that we need, all the equipment that we need to upgrade and continue to move forward. That would help us expand the network. That would help us grow our audience so that way more people can see this television network. We've had a lot of people respond to this, but we still need more. We still need you, friend, to join in with us. That I joined in, and we had people in our studio audience the exact same day joining in with us. And you know what? That meant the world to us, and that you're calling in and joining in saying, you know what? Send me. You know, Mondo, the implication a lot of the times is that I need physically to be the person that goes. Well, some people don't have the physical capability to go. Sometimes, you know, you're like, well, I'm here in my home. I have lots to tend to. I have my family. I can't leave. But you know, Mondo, like you said perfectly the other day, what we're doing is we're sending the gospel through this television show. Man. We're bringing guests like Joel Richardson. We're bringing guests like Perry Stone. We're bringing guests like Paul Begley so that they can be bringing out. You're sending them whenever you do this, friend. Whenever you stand with us at that love gift, it's a one-time donation, $500. We need 2,000 people to stand with us on that. Mondo, what they're doing is they're sending this message around the world.
Absolutely. Listen, I want to pray for this right now because as America's in turmoil, and as Joel Richardson has helped us understand where we are, we want to be at the middle of it.
Amen.
Father, I pray in the name of Jesus on this agreement, Lord, for this Send Me offering that will help us, Lord, to upgrade our equipment, but also, Lord, will help us move forward with the vision of the Jim Baker Show, Morningside, the PTL Network. And Father, I pray right now in agreement for those that are watching that has, Lord, they have been fed through this program. They've been touched by this ministry, and they go way back, all the way back from, you know, the 1950s, 60s, and 70s and 80s, Lord, all the way up to now. They stood with the vision. They stood with this ministry. And Father, we need help. We need their support. And Lord, we stand in agreement that we will meet this goal to be able to continue to preach the gospel around the world. Father, we pray for this offerings that are coming in right now.
Amen.
The people that are calling right now, the people that are going online and making their donation happen, Lord. Father, touch their life as they sow a seed to continue to spread the gospel in the time that is needed more than ever. that Christian television will continue to make an impact all over the world. We stand in agreement in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
We need you, friend. We need you to stand with us. Pastor Jim Baker, we've been talking to him. He needs you to stand with him in this network. You can call us at 1-888-988-1588. And simply, you have to just tell the operator, I want to be a part of the Send Me offering so that we can continue to broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. You know, Joel, we're living in times where people may feel like they're uncertain. If there is a message that you have for our audience right now of why there is certainty in Jesus Christ, what would that message be?
Well, look, you know, just as we talked about, it's not a coincidence that 3,000 years ago, the biblical prophets predicted exactly what we are seeing unfold right now, right in front of us with our eyeballs. You know, they predicted it. It's not a coincidence. It's very specific. If you look at the first chapter of my book, Islamic Antichrist, I predicted exactly what we're seeing right now, not because I'm a prophet, but because I was studying the scriptures. And so there's plenty of things out there to discourage us, to make us challenge our faith, but there is an abundance, even in the painful things, even in the horror, even in the depressing things, there is an abundance of evidence that this story is wrapping up, and this world is decaying and fading away, if you will, and the day is soon coming when the one who split that Red Sea open is going to split the sky and come back, and as the Lord promised, he will set his king on Mount Zion. And so it is absolutely time for every single one of us to prepare our hearts to be ready for that day.
You know what's amazing? I just sat here thinking about that, Joel. You know, as we've been doing this show, I sat here thinking about the platform of the Jim Baker Show, the PTL Television Network. And I remember 2009, this was almost 15 years ago, we introduced your book, The Islamic Antichrist, here on the broadcast. I remember Pastor Jim saying the moment he got that in his hands, he said, I have to get this message out. And he's a watchman. So he felt that this was a warning to the nation. America never believed that we would see an Islamic regime on our own soil. It just had never happened. We'd seen it overseas. We'd seen it in Iraq, but we had never envisioned or imagined. But I remember you and Pastor Jim talking in the green room and you guys so passionately saying, we have to prepare the church, because what if, as the word, as the studying that you begin to do with your book, Islamic Antichrist, you begin to sit there and show Pastor Jim the studying, the downloads, just the interpretation of the word of God from your time that you spent with the Lord. And so I just want to say thank you to you, Joel, because of your faithfulness, because of your obedience. This is what it's all about. When God gives each of us a piece, you know, the Lord says that we know in part, we prophesy in part, we know in part, but there have been times where God has brought, and I know that you say that you're not a prophet, but this is the voice of the prophets. That just means that we're going before anything that God is telling us to speak, we are being obedient to speak. And I believe that that's what you did all the way back in 2009, when no one was talking about this topic. No one could even imagine it or envision what this would look like. Joel Richardson was standing here on this show. He was sounding the alarm for you who are watching. And I want to encourage anyone who has that book, if you have it, maybe it's been sitting on your bookshelf, now is the time. I know that's what I did. The moment this news started coming out, I said, wait,
Hold on.
I've seen this. I've heard about this, Lord. The warning has gone forth. I went to my bookshelf. I pulled it out. And I want to encourage you, if you have not done that, do that. Also, too, I want to encourage you, Joel. I don't know if the book's still available. I believe I've seen it online on different areas, you know, that are available. Go out. If you want to truly understand what is happening right now, listen, we have a brother in Christ. God gave him the revelation 15 years ago, and now we are watching it. Yeah. Completely be revealed right before us. But I just want to say thank you, Joel, for your faithfulness. This is what it takes, is men and women of God being obedient to say yes to God. And so we want to thank you for that, Joel.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much. And thank you for giving me the platform to share that. It doesn't make anyone happy when their negative predictions come to pass. But as the scriptures say, when you see all of these things, lift up your head, be encouraged. because your redemption, your deliverance is drawing close. So these things are painful, but they're not going to last forever.
You know, Pastor Jim Baker built this network because he said, I want to give voice to the prophet known and unknown as well. You know, I would say, apart from any other Christian television network, we love all Christian television networks if they're spreading the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ. But apart from all of them, Mondo, we have truly been the forerunner of bringing the prophets known and unknown. There might be times when you're watching the PTL television network and you see a guest that we have and you're going, well, who is that? I've never heard of that person. I've never seen that person. But they have a word that's so relevant for today. Friend, we are dedicated to the vision that Pastor Jim Baker is carrying right now. Anytime we talk to him, there's a few things he brings up. First off, he wants to make sure that we're taking care of the partners, that we're loving on the partners, that we're still stewarding the mission statement in which he wrote in place for this, that we're making sure everything we teach aligns with the word of God.
Amen.
But Mondo, he wants to make sure that this vision is passed down to the next generation if the Lord should tarry. He's saying, hey, you know what? We want your children's children, if the Lord should tarry, to continue preaching the fullness of the gospel. That's what this network is all about. I had a friend recently tell me, he goes, you know, essentially, when are you going to expand your ministry goals? Ricky, when to go out and start preaching more physically in churches? When are you? I said, brother, this is my ministry.
Amen.
This is what I am called to do. I'm called to be right here, sitting right here, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with the person who I lock eyes with on the other side of that television screen. Why? Because you need to know that there's a hope found in Jesus Christ. You need to know that while you may be going through a valley, there is a mountaintop waiting for you. Friend, yes, the world is dark, and yes, there will be trials, and yes, there will be tribulation, but there is a hope found in Christ Jesus. There is a purity found in Christ Jesus. There is a holy judge. When you stand before him, you do not have to worry about a corrupt judge. That should be so relieving for you, friend. You don't have to worry about the scales being unfairly balanced. And I would bid to say that they are slightly unfairly balanced. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ sits on one end. Friend, that is good enough for us. You haven't done too much. You haven't gone too far. You haven't been too aggressive of a left or a right or a middle or whatever it is you think it is that the Lord doesn't love. Friend, he loves you. He loves people. He's in the business of bringing people into the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit wants to have an intimate relationship with you. We believe in preparation of the church physically. We want you to go and get your food buckets. We want you to make sure that you have pure water. That is a message that we are absolutely unashamed of because we have seen the benefit they bring to the believer. But believer, your soul is the most important thing that you should be concerned about. You need to make sure that if you were to pass away right now, you knew you were going to heaven to spend eternity with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Go get in a good Bible-believing church. Go get baptized. Go tell everyone that you interact with, I am a believer in Jesus Christ. Thank you for supporting the PTL Television Network. It's the reason that we get to do what we do. It's the reason that we get to sit up here and tell you about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the reason that we get to bring the prophets known and unknown. It's because of your support, friend. It's because you stand with us month after month. Even when it gets hard, you continue to stand with us. Even whenever times seem tough, you continue to stand with us. You stood by our father, Pastor Jim Baker, and you have been faithful to stand with us still. And we want to say thank you so much. You are the reason we get to broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. And like I say, nobody says it quite like Pastor Jim Baker. I'll say it for 100 years and I still won't get it right. But I want you to remember this, friend, that God loves you. He really does. Bye-bye for today.
Join Jim and Lori Baker every day as they welcome anointed teachers.
Remember that God loves you. He really does.
And the most dynamic personalities from around the world as we share grace and restoration.
Power over the gods. You know, the Bible says, who is like you, O Lord, among
you? You never know who is going to be on The Jim Baker Show.
Our mission is to fulfill the great commission of Jesus Christ to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every person. We want to thank you for standing with us and your support. To see more content like this, go to watchjimbakershow.com. Remember, like my dad always says, God loves you. He really does.